You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Come on, get up!
Good morning. It is time to get up with the coffee clatch for coaches. They're all talking. You will hear every interesting word they have to say, including Pittsburgh. We'll tell you how the Steelers have already gotten it exactly right with their QB controversy, which is exactly what it is. And Chicago, why the first pick has every reason to be concerned in the second city. All that and a whole lot more. We couldn't have more going on this morning, and we got the right people to do it. Let's go. It's a Monday. It's time to get up. We are presented by ESPN Bet, and it is a good bet that Jay Williams will have a lot to say this morning. He's in a good mood because the Dukies are alive.
You know it.
Not in as good a mood, but I'm wearing my purple with great pride this morning for my beloved alma mater, Northwestern. Let's take a look at who else we got here. Uncle Seth Greenberg, no relation, ready to go. RG3 and Hawk are rolling. Dan Graziano's at the owners' meetings. We've got a lot to get to. Let's start with the action last night. What a game. Number 9, Texas A&M taking on number 1, Houston in the South. 10 seconds left. A&M inbounding down by 3.
They were able to get a shot off or get the rebound. I mean, this is how you get an offensive rebound, and it comes down to a final play. Look, you love this game, and a jump ball, and this is one of the play designs that Buzz Williams is able to accomplish in a game like this.
And so it leads to this.
Pass.
1 second. Anderson Garcia ties it from 3. We're tied at 86. We're going to overtime with a 1 seed hanging in the balance. 35 seconds left in the OT. Houston up by 2, and it's Jamal Shedd.
You talk about one of the toughest players in America to play this game. Jamal Shedd is one of the best players. You will get to know his name more and more each time they advance in the tournament.
Yes, that was a happy Jim Nance who you saw last night, the Houston alum, watching his team surviving and advancing, as they say in this dance. And now they get Duke. We didn't show, but Duke just obliterated James Madison yesterday here in Brooklyn. And so, Uncle Seth, I will start with you. The Dukies up against the 1 seed. I got a little, I'm not going to get an unbiased opinion over here to my right.
Not.
Let me get one over there. How do you like Duke Thursday night in Boston against the top-seeded Cougars?
They got a shot, but they got to play as hard and as physical as that Houston team. Like, Houston's the hardest-playing team in America. I'll tell you what's the key thing in this game. How the game is officiating. Because Houston plays violent basketball. They're going to trap ball screens. They're going to double the post. They're going to chuck cutters. So Duke's going to have to compete offensively against that aggressive Duke Houston defense. And then they're going to have to rebound the basketball. This is a Duke team. They're going to have to make the first hit and then go pursue the basketball. If you can rebound the basketball and compete offensively, Duke will win this game. If one of those two things they don't do, they don't have a chance. But how the game is officiated, think about how many free throw attempts Texas A&M got yesterday. I think it's 45. If Duke gets to the line 45 times, Duke wins this basketball game.
2 weeks ago, if you were to ask me this question, I would have told you Houston wins this game pretty easily. After watching last night's game, the one question you always had about Duke was, if they got hit in the mouth, could they hit their opponent back? Or could they be the first to hit their opponent? They hit last night. Their guard play is what set them apart. You have to be tough, obviously, to win tournament games against Houston. But think about all the great shooters that have ever played at Duke University. None of them have ever made 8 threes in a tournament game. That's what Jarrett McCain did last night. He's made 81 threes on a 42% shooting clip. If Tyrese Proctor, Jarrett McCain, and company have toughness with the way they played and they defended, it's not about starting off the season being the best team. It's about where you are now. That's the best I've ever seen Duke play.
Seth is right. Texas A&M 29 of 45 from the free throw line in that game last night. Houston took 30 foul shots as well. So the whistles were very busy last night. That was in the South region. In the East here in Brooklyn, here's the best team in the country, UConn, taking on my beloved Northwestern Wildcats, who had a terrific run but just ran into a buzzsaw last night.
Look, UConn, top to bottom, is the best team in the country. Dan Hurley is the best coach in the country, and it was a clinic in the first half. This was like a varsity high school team playing against the freshman team. No offense, Greeny, I'm sorry. I mean, in the first half.
It just is that way. I mean, they're just that good. UConn 75-58. This game was 40-18 at halftime. And so, Seth, I'll ask it to you this simply. UConn's level of dominance, if they played the Celtics in a best-of-seven series, who do you like?
I think the Celtics are in pretty good shape. But this UConn team is just different. It's how they're built. If you think about how they're built, they don't just collect talent. They put together a team. Everyone's role is clearly defined. Everyone's role is embraced and championed. And then how competitive, how tough, how physical they are. Offensively, they play differently than everyone else. I was talking about Danny Hurley. Defensively, they play like they're from Jersey City. Offensively, they play like they're from Europe. The ball moves, people moves, movement off the basketball. They share the basketball. They make plays for each other. They get a good shot. They get the shot they want almost every time down the court. They beat you in transition. They beat you in half court. They beat you with their toughness. They beat you with rebounding. They beat you with a collective responsibility. I agree with Jay Will. Danny Hurley is the standard for college basketball today in terms of how his team plays. And if you watch him practice, which I do about once a week, they practice every single day with that same attention to detail and that same standard.
And so, look, I was obviously kidding about the Celtics, but let me change it, the question this way, Jay. If they were in the NBA's Eastern Conference, would they make the playoffs? I think I'm looking at teams that are eight games under 500 in the play-in right now. They're better than
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, Greeny.
And Orlovsky.
I'm not doing that. No.
I got a bone to pick with Orlovsky.
No.
He suckers me into a bet. I got to make. He's betting me dinner at the Polo Bar just because I can get in and he can't. And the next thing you know, it's a 9-1 odds, and he's like trying to make me a bet on dinner and all of this. It's ridiculous.
Come on, Jay,
UConn's an NBA team.
They're not. They execute like one, but their talent level, I would not say, would be able to make the play-in.
Mere fact that we're having this conversation,
possibly,
I think, says it all.
They had no chance.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that way with you, Greeny. Here's what I will say about UConn, though, as it relates to this tournament. You know, as we enter this part of the season, Seth and I, after doing a ton of college basketball work, you're like, oh, I see the light at the tunnel. That's how San Diego State feels, right? As you keep winning games in a tournament or any other team. Sometimes, though, you recognize, is that a light or is that a freight train?
Yes.
And that freight train is UConn.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a freight train coming that's like, oh, no, that's not heaven. You're about to die. And that's how UConn plays.
If I said to you right now, Seth, no one will play them within 10 points in this tournament. They will win four more games and no one will play them a single-digit game. What would you say?
I wouldn't say that's right because I think Iowa State or Illinois will play them a close basketball game. I just think they'll execute better. Illinois State doesn't have a true point guard, and Iowa State struggles basically scoring at times. But if they can impose their identity on the game in terms of keeping them on one side of the court, rebounding, turning them over, it'll be closer than a 10-point game. But UConn is ridiculous, and how hard they play and how well they're coached.
Now that we have the ESPN Bet platform, I can say this as a betting man. I don't know. Them pulling away from games late, Seth, with their ability, Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, to make free throws. I mean, we won every game by double digits. It's possible because they have the scores and to make free throws.
They were a 14.5-point favorite last night in the second round. They're a 9.5-point favorite going into the third round, and that will wind up 10. That number will move in that direction after last night's game. Final word, Seth, go ahead.
There'll be one game in the NCAA tournament where they're going to have to grind and make plays at the end of the game. That's just the way it is. Obviously, last year was a run. So that 10-point mark, I think, as they move on, will be difficult. I do think they're going to win the national championship.
All right, everybody stay close by. We'll have much more on the tournament as we go. Now, I told you all the coaches, as we speak in the NFL, are having their meetings this morning. And by meeting, I mean they're meeting with the media. I'm told Mike Tomlin is literally talking right now, and we will be able to hear some of it. I'm being told we can hear it right now. This is Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Steelers, talking about his quarterback situation. This is as we speak in Orlando.
We're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I just think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. And the term that I've used is Russell has pole position. And why do I use that term? Because during this time where we are not formally working, man, I just think it's beneficial. His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected, talking about over a 12-month calendar, it's not only good for him, it's good for teams. It's good for receivers, tight ends, running backs, et cetera. all the things that people are that are really committed to winning do this time of year. Russell has those resources, man, that structure. And so that's why I say he has pole position, man. It just creates a synergy that I think is good for this time of year. When it's time to compete, we get in training camp-like settings and going to preseason stadiums and so forth. Obviously, Justin will be given an opportunity to show his capabilities.
Mike, when you went back. So, again, that's Mike Tomlin, and this is happening as we speak. The owners' meeting's down there in Orlando. Coaches are all talking. You'll be hearing from them all morning long. Our Dan Graziano is at the table there. So, RG3, let's talk about that. The strategy of essentially anointing Russell Wilson. He's the starter, and Justin is here to do his thing. Do you think that's the right way to go about it?
No, I think it's absolutely genius, Greeny. But how hot is it in that room that Mike Tomlin is sweating like he's in a sauna? Oh, my gosh. But let me stay on subject here. I think it's genius. Listen, Russell Wilson comes in with a top five touchdown interception ratio from last year. And Mike Tomlin knows that he is a future Hall of Fame quarterback. So he has earned the right to be in pole position. But what it really does is it sets the tone for the locker room. All those guys in the locker room understand that if Mike Tomlin says something, it is the gospel. So if Russell Wilson is in pole position, they're riding with Russell Wilson till the wheels fall off. And it's really Justin Fields' job to go into Pittsburgh and prove to them that his future potential is worth investing in. That's exactly what you want when you have a dynamic young player like Justin Fields. Come in, learn from the guy who's led a team to a Super Bowl, played in two of them and won one. And then you can see when you get into training camp how he goes out and executes that offense. But this, make no doubt about it, Greeny, this is the best team on paper that the Steelers have had since 2017 when they had Le'Veon Bell and AB on it.
Yeah, and that was a team a lot of people thought might make a Super Bowl run. How about it, Hawk? The idea here that Justin goes in there to learn from Russell Wilson unless something goes completely sideways. How do you see it?
That's the NFL. You have to have somebody in pole position. You have to have somebody fending somebody off, and you have to have somebody behind them chasing their position. That's how you get the best out of everyone, and it's what Mike Tomlin wants in his quarterback room. He wants competition. I don't think this is bad in any stretch of the imagination. Russell Wilson has a resume and a career that has earned him this position, so it should be done that way.
Our apologies for the AM radio quality that we have there on the sound. We will have that, we'll get that fixed up for you in a minute. But very quickly, RG3, Hawk brought up something in our meeting this morning that I'd love you to just get into very, very quickly because I just have a moment. The idea that Russell Wilson might have a bad camp, get outplayed at camp, when a player has been a quarterback in the NFL as long as Russell has been. And again, this is a point that Hawk was going to make, but I'll do it because we're having the little audio issue there. The idea that Russell Wilson is going to have a bad camp seems very unlikely. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I don't believe there's a chance that Russell Wilson is going to come out and have a bad camp. He's a seasoned veteran. Like I said, he's a future Hall of Famer. When you have an offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith, whose primary job is to run the football and make things easy for the quarterback, it's going to be very difficult for Justin Fields to come in and truly outplay a guy like Russell Wilson. I don't really see that happening, but it's a best case scenario for both sides that Russell is the guy going forward because he gives that offense and the team the belief that they can go win a Super Bowl.
All right, stay where you are here. Again, we got the whole crew today. We got a lot going on, as you can see. There's also the big news from baseball. So everyone stay close by. We have much more to do. We're going to continue reacting to all the new coaching sound this morning, including from the JETS, Jets, Robert Saleh meeting with the media as we speak. We'll hear what he said about his remade offensive line and much more in front of that man, the quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And then speaking of what people say, a primetime proclamation. I don't know if he meant to or not. But Deion Sanders yesterday may have heralded the beginning of a new era of professional football, and we'll explain as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. And I have missed you while I have been away for a week. And so this morning's green list is going to be the top five things that have happened in the time that I have been away here over the course of the last week. So these are the top five things that happened. And let's start at number five. And that is, I'm a huge believer in karma. The good things that go around wind up coming back on you. The Bears did right by Justin Fields. They could have held on longer. They could have tried to try and get a little bit more for him than they wound up getting. I think they did right by him. And in the long run, I think that will be the right thing to have done, not only for the young man, but for the organization. What goes around comes around. I think the good karma the Bears put out there is going to wind up being valuable. At number four, everything I'm hearing as we prepare for the draft is that J.J. McCarthy's Scott stock is skyrocketing. There is no way in the world this guy gets to the sixth pick in the draft. I don't think it is inconceivable that he winds up being the third quarterback off the board. His name is all I hear. Every direction I turn, I think he is very much worth keeping a close eye on as we go to possibly be the third pick in this draft. At number three, I will tell you that nothing happened last week as significant as what happened those first 2 days when I was here. The biggest acquisition in the NFC was Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons. I genuinely believe they are a sneaky Super Bowl contender. The biggest acquisition in the AFC, Derrick Henry to the Ravens. That team forgot they're supposed to run the ball in the playoffs last year. They won't forget with Derrick Henry there. I think he makes a huge difference. They were this close to being in the Super Bowl last year. He's this big. I like Derrick Henry a lot in Baltimore. Number two, and we just touched on it, the Jets are getting this offseason exactly right. Push all your chips to the middle of the table. They are the definition of a win-now team. There hasn't been a team as win-now as this in as long as I can remember. So they are doing everything right so far. It doesn't mean it'll work, but they're giving themselves at least a fighting chance, which I don't think most of us thought they had when last season ended. But then at number one, I will say I think the huge winner in all of this has been Justin Fields. I know this was not the way he envisioned this offseason going. I'm sure that there has been some feeling of humiliation in the fact that the league did not act more excited about the opportunity to acquire him. But at the end of the day, he wound up in the right place with an organization and a coach who I think can turn him into the player I think he is someday destined to be. The question is, how does he get there? I'm going to play you some more from Mike Tomlin. Again, we're hearing from all the coaches as we speak. Here's Tomlin on Russell Wilson.
His approach to business, how he lives his life, how he lives his professional life. I said yesterday, and it's probably the best way to describe it, Russell is not a guy that's hungry. Hunger is something that can be satisfied. He's a guy that's driven. He's on a quest to be the very best that he can be, to shape his career up to a vision that he has, and that resonated with me.
So I like that a lot, and I understand it, and I understand how this is a good opportunity for Russell Wilson. There's no question. But I am very much on record as being a believer in Justin Fields, regardless of how the league did or didn't react to his being available over the last few weeks. So RG3, help me with this. If Russell Wilson is going in there as the starting quarterback, if the plan is to make him the starting quarterback, and Justin is a player who doesn't have more than this 1 year left on his contract, how does he become the quarterback of the future? I'm trying to ask you the question this way. Is Justin Fields the quarterback of the future in Pittsburgh?
I think he is. I think Mike Tomlin has made it very clear with how he's talked about both quarterbacks. Contrast how Sean Payton, when he first came into Denver, and how he talked about Russell Wilson, saying he needed to stop kissing babies and stop doing this and doing that. You had a general feeling that he did not want Russell Wilson. Mike Tomlin has come out and he's praising him, talking about how he's not hungry, he's driven. I mean, I would love to sit down with Mike Tomlin and hear all these one-liners that he has, because they're absolutely phenomenal. But what it means to me is that he's giving Justin Fields the opportunity to not have any pressure on him throughout this whole offseason. He gets a natural reset, and he's going to have the best roster, ironically, the best roster he's ever had as a pro, as the backup in Pittsburgh, with a defense that is unbelievably led by TJ Watt, and an offense that has a two-headed monster at running back with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, and also a true number one in George Pickens. So I think for Justin Fields, his approach has to be everything they said about me coming into last year and these last three seasons, I have to take it personal now. It's not business. I got to go show them that I can do it, and I think he will.
I think that's right. The problem, as I see it, Hawk, is if Russell Wilson is the starter, and that's a pretty good team, which I think they could be, and Russell Wilson plays pretty well, which I think he very well has a chance to do and doesn't get hurt, then maybe there's a world in which Justin Fields doesn't wind up playing or playing much this season. And then I'm not exactly sure where he is. He's 4 years into his career. He won't have a contract. How do we play that thing out in our minds, Hawk?
It's the NFL. And it is a perfect scenario, Greeny, because Mike Tomlin, another one-liner, is he wants volunteers, not hostages. This is a place that Justin Fields wanted to come to compete with Russell Wilson. Yes, the pecking order is important, but he wants guys who are there to compete. Justin Fields has come there for that. Not only that, Mike Tomlin says he wants guys that resist comfort. That has been Justin Fields' career. He has so much potential that even if he does not play this year, he's still in a great position because he's only 25 years old. He does have 3 to 4 years of experience in the NFL, and he's still at his peak physically with his arm power, his speed, his elusiveness, and all those things factor into what the future could look like for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the mentality that it's a problem that Russell Wilson is planted as the starter at this juncture in the season, if Justin Fields had a problem with that, he wouldn't be the guy for Mike Tomlin. Because that thinking that I don't need to come in here and compete and unseat somebody and I shy away from comfort is the same reason why Kenny Pickett is now a Philadelphia Eagle.
I'm with that. I hear all of that. RG3, I guess I'll ask it just this way. Is there a realistic possibility in your mind that week one, Justin Fields is the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh?
I don't think that that's going to happen, barring injury to Russell Wilson. But I will say this, Greeny. If everything goes to plan with Russell Wilson at quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they make the playoffs and they go on a run and they win playoff games, because that's obviously their goal, is to win the Super Bowl. But if they have a successful season, there's not going to be any reason for Mike Tomlin not to bring Justin Fields back as the backup, because Russell Wilson's not going to play another 7-8 years in the NFL, at least we don't think. So then the question becomes, how much can Justin Fields prove to the Steelers brass and Omar Khan that he can be that guy in the future even without playing? That comes with how he comes into the building, how he prepares his teammates, and how he competes day in and day out. I think he can certainly do that because he has the potential, not only as an explosive passer, but also an explosive runner. I think he is very intriguing to them, but they have to be successful this year. He has to do everything he can to compete with Russ, but also help Russ help the Steelers win games.
That's the thing. I mean, Russell Wilson as the starter and Justin Fields as the backup is the easier decision to unmake. You can't unmake the other one. But the point is, once it's been unmade, which is to say Justin gets the start, then that's it. I mean, you would assume that will be the end for Russell Wilson there and maybe everywhere. So his career kind of hangs in the balance. And then Justin hangs in the balance. I called it a quarterback controversy at the beginning, Hawk, because everyone can walk into this thing with the best of intentions. But controversy doesn't have to be mean-spirited. But at the end of the day, unless Russell Wilson is playing out of his mind and they're winning games, there are going to be a lot of people, and I'm one of them, I'm raising my hand, who are thinking, put Justin Fields on the field. This kid could be a great player for the next 10 years if he gets the opportunity.
I think it's all about what the Steelers need now. Look at the quarterback play that they've had over the last 4 to 5 years. An improvement is Russell Wilson being even a slither of what he did a season ago. So I do think the barometer is just a little different than you and I, Greeny. And on top of that, it is going to be tough for Justin Fields to unseat Russell Wilson early in this season. Because RG3 and I talked about this before the show. Do you know how easy it is for a veteran quarterback to go into a camp and have a quote-unquote good camp? You know the concepts. You're there because of your experience. It's going to be really hard for you to go in there and play so bad that Justin Fields becomes the day one starter. So it's probably going to be we need to see Russell Wilson in actual game action before we start to have those conversations.
It's going to be really interesting to watch. Again, we're hearing from the coaches all morning long. Guys, stay close. We'll continue as the more interesting sound bites continue to come in. In the meantime, let's go back to March Madness as we are flying around today. Let's run the floor, Jay Will and Seth Greenberg. Jay, let's start with this. What was your biggest takeaway from yesterday in the tournament?
You know what my biggest takeaway from yesterday was, Greeny? Jerry McCain, we got to go. It's time to go. We need to focus. We need to lock in. Pan in on me. Let's go. The focus. Take care of the ball. Let's protect the ball. Let's shoot the ball. The ball's on the ground. Roll on the ground, Greeny. You fight for it. It's time to step up, damn it. We got a game against Houston. Let's go win a chip.
So let me translate for those of you not paying attention. His biggest takeaway was Duke, who was dominant yesterday. And you know what? I mean, look, I can't argue with you.
We look good.
I missed the first 3 minutes of that game. I didn't need to watch the rest of it.
It set the tone for the rest of the game.
The game was over. I mean, by the time I turned it on, the game was over.
They punched the team before they got punched, and they'll need to do the same against Houston.
Yeah, so that was later in the day. Early in the day, Seth, was your big. What was your biggest takeaway? Because I was very impressed, as you were.
J-Will got the brotherhood package. Nice jacket. It's Tyler Cole. Kyle Cole, healthy. This is a different Marquette team. They're 13-1 in the last 14. You saw the other day. He's a left-handed Steve Nash. His ability to control the basketball, control the team, pass people into shots, pass people into scoring opportunities. His ability to get to the rim, read all five defenders in a ball screen, keep his dribble alive, take it underneath the basket with that one-hand runner off the wrong leg. Tyler Kolek, his return to play, makes Marquette a Final Four team.
Yep, I had them in my knockout pool yesterday, and he took care of me in what was a very close game against Colorado. Okay, your jacket notwithstanding.
Yes.
What has been the most impressive team in the tournament so far?
UConn. It's not even a question.
Yeah.
They are a freight train. And by the way, you know that old line of death by a thousand cuts?
Yeah.
That's the way they beat you. They out-execute you. They have all the athletic ability. You know, Seth always talk about their Noah's Ark. They have two of everything, right? Which is a great line for him. But their attention to detail and how they're coached makes them the best team in the country.
Yeah, they would make the playoffs in the NBA's Eastern Conference. That's how good they are. Yes, they would. Seth, who's been the most impressive player in the tournament so far?
It's got to be Terrence Shannon. Think about his numbers. I mean, just what he's doing on a daily basis. 32 points a game, 53, 47, 88 for the free throw line. He can take the ball off defensive rebound, run the break. You put him in a high ball screen, he's going to come off. You go underneath, he knocks down the jumper. He gets to the mid post, the offensive rebounds. He plays with the physicality. He plays with the force. He can dominate the game with the balls in his hands. And he's an active and alert defender. The guy's been absolutely incredible.
Big Ten has two teams left, Illinois and Purdue. That brings us to my next question. Jay, give me the one seed that you think they're all still alive. Who's in trouble in the Sweet 16?
You got to go Purdue. They're going against the Fighting Mark Few's Gonzaga. Gonzaga has size. They have strength. And the one thing you like about Gonzaga, look, Greeny, you and I talked about the fact that Northwestern beat Purdue at home. You felt like they should have beat them on the road.
Absolutely.
With some bad calls.
Yes.
Gonzaga's ability to have sides to combat Zach Edey and their execution from their guards is what's going to be a differentiator.
Interesting that you did not choose Houston, who's playing Duke. Who do you think, Seth, is the number one seed in the biggest trouble?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's Houston because of Duke. I don't have the brotherhood jacket, but I'll tell you, the way Duke played, the force that they played with, the physicality that they played with, how they handled the pressure of JMU, their overall size, their shot-making, plus how the game is going to be officiated will be the key in this game. Last game, you saw 45 free throw attempts for that Texas A&M team. If you put Duke on the line 44 times, they're winning that basketball game. So I think that Houston is in the most trouble because at Duke, at its ceiling, at their very best, they can beat Houston. And Jay will be happy. He'll make he'll be making like videos, screaming at the TV,
and getting another package from the brotherhood. When they get blowed on, That's a foul. To the free throw line. That's what I need.
Yeah, because if they get 45 foul shots, they're going to make 44 exactly. of them as opposed to the 29 we saw last night. Hey, ESPN Bet is the official sports book of ESPN, and it's the only place you can find exclusive offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sports book bet. Download today. What a play. Coming up next, do not miss a primetime proclamation. Deion Sanders said something yesterday that could signal huge changes in football as we know it. Don't miss it. Next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. And I have missed you while I have been away for a week. And so this morning's green list is going to be the top 5 things that have happened in the time that I have been away here over the course of the last week. So these are the top 5 things that happened. And let's start at number 5. And that is, I'm a huge believer in karma. The good things that go around wind up coming back on you. The Bears did right by Justin Fields. They could have held on longer. They could have tried to try and get a little bit more for him than they wound up getting. I think they did right by him, and in the long run, I think that will be the right thing to have done, not only for the young man, but for the organization. What goes around comes around. I think the good karma the Bears put out there is going to wind up being valuable. At number 4, everything I'm hearing as we prepare for the draft is that J.J. McCarthy's Scott stock is skyrocketing. There is no way in the world this guy gets to the 6th pick in the draft. I don't think it is inconceivable that he winds up being the 3rd quarterback off the board. His name is all I hear every direction I turn. I think he is very much worth keeping a close eye on as we go to possibly be the 3rd pick in this draft. At number 3, I will tell you that nothing happened last week as significant as what happened those first 2 days when I was here. The biggest acquisition in the NFC was Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons. I genuinely believe they are a sneaky Super Bowl contender. The biggest acquisition in the AFC, Derrick Henry to the Ravens. That team forgot they're supposed to run the ball in the playoffs last year. They won't forget with Derrick Henry there. I think he makes a huge difference. They were this close to being in the Super Bowl last year. He's this big. I like Derrick Henry a lot in Baltimore. Number 2, and we just touched on it, the Jets are getting this offseason exactly right. push all your chips to the middle of the table. They are the definition of a win-now team. There hasn't been a team as win-now as this in as long as I can remember. So they are doing everything right so far. It doesn't mean it'll work, but they're giving themselves at least a fighting chance, which I don't think most of us thought they had when last season ended. But then at number one, I will say I think the huge winner in all of this has been Justin Fields. I know this was not the way he envisioned this offseason going. I'm sure that there has been some feeling of humiliation in the fact that the league did not act more excited about the opportunity to acquire him. But at the end of the day, he wound up in the right place with an organization and a coach who I think can turn him into the player I think he is someday destined to be. The question is, how does he get there? I'm going to play you some more from Mike Tomlin. Again, we're hearing from all the coaches as we speak. Here's Tomlin on Russell Wilson.
His approach to business, how he lives his life, how he lives his professional life. I said yesterday, and it's probably the best way to describe it, Russell is not a guy that's hungry. Hunger is something that can be satisfied. He's a guy that's driven. He's on a quest to be the very best that he can be, to shape his career up to a vision that he has, and that resonated with me.
So I like that a lot, and I understand it, and I understand how this is a good opportunity for Russell Wilson. There's no question. But I am very much on record as being a believer in Justin Fields, regardless of how the league did or didn't react to his being available over the last few weeks. So RG3, help me with this. If Russell Wilson is going in there as the starting quarterback, if the plan is to make him the starting quarterback, and Justin is a player who doesn't have more than this 1 year left on his contract, how does he become the quarterback of the future? I'm trying to ask you the question this way. Is Justin Fields the quarterback of the future in Pittsburgh?
I think he is. I think Mike Tomlin has made it very clear with how he's talked about both quarterbacks. Contrast how Sean Payton, when he first came into Denver, and how he talked about Russell Wilson, saying he needed to stop kissing babies and stop doing this and doing that. You had a general feeling that he did not want Russell Wilson. Mike Tomlin has come out and he's praising him, talking about how he's not hungry, he's driven. I mean, I would love to sit down with Mike Tomlin and hear all these one-liners that he has, because they're absolutely phenomenal. But what it means to me is that he's giving Justin Fields the opportunity to not have any pressure on him throughout this whole offseason. He gets a natural reset, and he's going to have the best roster, ironically, the best roster he's ever had as a pro, as the backup in Pittsburgh, with a defense that is unbelievably led by TJ Watt and an offense that has a two-headed monster at running back with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, and also a true number one in George Pickens. So I think for Justin Fields, his approach has to be everything they said about me coming into last year and these last three seasons, I have to take it personal now. It's not business. I got to go show them that I can do it, and I think he will.
I think that's right. The problem, as I see it, Hawk, is if Russell Wilson is the starter, and that's a pretty good team, which I think they could be, and Russell Wilson plays pretty well, which I think he very well has a chance to do, and doesn't get hurt, then maybe there's a world in which Justin Fields doesn't wind up playing or playing much this season. And then I'm not exactly sure where he is. He's 4 years into his career. He won't have a contract. How do we play that thing out in our minds, Hawk?
It's the NFL. And it is a perfect scenario, Greeny, because Mike Tomlin, another one-liner, is he wants volunteers, not hostages. This is a place that Justin Fields wanted to come to compete with Russell Wilson. Yes, the pecking order is important, but he wants guys who are there to compete. Justin Fields has come there for that. Not only that, Mike Tomlin says he wants guys that resist comfort. That has been Justin Fields' career. He has so much potential that even if he does not play this year, he's still in a great position because he's only 25 years old. He does have 3 to 4 years of experience in the NFL, and he's still at his peak physically with his arm power, his speed, his elusiveness, and all those things factor into what the future could look like for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the mentality that it's a problem that Russell Wilson is planted as the starter at this juncture in the season, if Justin Fields had a problem with that, he wouldn't be the guy for Mike Tomlin. Because that thinking that I don't need to come in here and compete and unseat somebody and I shy away from comfort is the same reason why Kenny Pickett is now a Philadelphia Eagle.
I'm with that. I hear all of that. RG3, I guess I'll ask it just this way. Is there a realistic possibility in your mind that week one, Justin Fields is the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh?
I don't think that that's going to happen, barring injury to Russell Wilson. But I will say this, Greeny. If everything goes to plan with Russell Wilson at quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they make the playoffs and they go on a run and they win playoff games, because that's obviously their goal is to win the Super Bowl. But if they have a successful season, there's not going to be any reason for Mike Tomlin not to bring Justin Fields back as the backup, because Russell Wilson's not going to play another 7-8 years in the NFL. At least we don't think. So then the question becomes, how much can Justin Fields prove to the Steelers brass and Omar Khan that he can be that guy in the future, even without playing? That comes with how he comes into the building, how he prepares his teammates, and how he competes day in and day out. I think he can certainly do that because he has the potential, not only as an explosive passer, but also an explosive runner. I think he is very intriguing to them, but they have to be successful this year. He has to do everything he can to compete with Russ, but also help Russ help the Steelers win games.
That's the thing. I mean, Russell Wilson as the starter and Justin Fields as the backup is the easier decision to unmake. You can't unmake the other one. But the point is, once it's been unmade, which is to say Justin gets the start, then that's it. I mean, you would assume that will be the end for Russell Wilson there and maybe everywhere. So his career kind of hangs in the balance. And then Justin hangs in the balance. I called it a quarterback controversy at the beginning, Hawk, because everyone can walk into this thing with the best of intentions. But controversy doesn't have to be mean-spirited. But at the end of the day, unless Russell Wilson is playing out of his mind and they're winning games, there are going to be a lot of people, and I'm one of them, I'm raising my hand, who are thinking, put Justin Fields on the field. This kid could be a great player for the next 10 years if he gets the opportunity.
I think it's all about what the Steelers need now. Look at the quarterback play that they've had over the last 4 to 5 years. An improvement is Russell Wilson being even a slither of what he did a season ago. So I do think the barometer is just a little different than you and I, Greeny. And on top of that, it is going to be tough for Justin Fields to unseat Russell Wilson early in this season. Because RG3 and I talked about this before the show. Do you know how easy it is for a veteran quarterback to go into a camp and have a quote-unquote good camp? You know the concepts. You're there because of your experience. It's going to be really hard for you to go in there and play so bad that Justin Fields becomes the day one starter. So it's probably going to be, we need to see Russell Wilson in actual game action before we start to have those conversations.
It's going to be really interesting to watch. Again, we're hearing from the coaches all morning long. Guys, stay close. We'll continue as the more interesting sound bites continue to come in. In the meantime, let's go back to March Madness as we are flying around today. Let's run the floor, Jay Will and Seth Greenberg. Jay, let's start with this. What was your biggest takeaway from yesterday in the tournament?
You know what my biggest takeaway from yesterday was, Greeny? Jerry McCain, we got to go. It's time to go. We need to focus. We need to lock in. Pan in on me. Let's go. Focus. Take care of the ball. Let's protect the ball. Let's shoot the ball. The ball's on the ground. Roll on the ground, Greeny. You fight for it. It's time to step up, damn it. We got a game against Houston. Let's go win a chip.
So let me translate for those of you not paying attention. His biggest takeaway was Duke, who was dominant yesterday. And you know what? I mean, look, I can't argue with you.
We look good.
I missed the first 3 minutes of that game. I didn't need to watch the rest of it.
It set the tone for the rest of the game.
The game was over. I mean, by the time I turned it on, the game was over.
They punched the team before they got punched, and they'll need to do the same against Houston.
Yeah, so that was later in the day. Early in the day, Seth, was your big. What was your biggest takeaway? Because I was very impressed, as you were.
Jay Will got the brotherhood package. Nice jacket. It's Tyler Cole. Kyle Cole, healthy. This is a different Marquette team. They're 13-1 in the last 14. You saw the other day. He's a left-handed Steve Nash. His ability to control the basketball, control the team, pass people into shots, pass people into scoring opportunities. His ability to get to the rim, read all five defenders in a ball screen, keep his dribble alive, take it underneath the basket with that one hand runner off the wrong leg. Tyler Kolek, his return to play makes Marquette a Final Four team.
Yep, I had them in my knockout pool yesterday, and he took care of me in what was a very close game against Colorado. Okay, your jacket notwithstanding.
Yes.
What has been the most impressive team in the tournament so far?
UConn. It's not even a question.
Yeah.
They are a freight train. And by the way, you know that old line of death by a thousand cuts?
Yeah.
That's the way they beat you. They out-execute you. They have all the athletic ability. You know, Seth always talk about their Noah's Ark. They have two of everything, right? Which is a great line for him. But their attention to detail and how they're coached makes them the best team in the country.
Yeah, they would make the playoffs in the NBA's Eastern Conference. That's how good they are. Yes, they would. Seth, who's been the most impressive player in the tournament so far?
It's got to be Terrence Shannon. Think about his numbers. I mean, just what he's doing on a daily basis. 32 points a game, 53, 47, 88 for the free throw line. He can take the ball off defensive rebound, run the break. You put him in a high ball screen, he's going to come off. You go underneath, he knocks down the jumper. He gets to the mid post, the offensive rebounds. He plays with the physicality. He plays with the force. He can dominate the game with the balls in his hands. And he's an active and alert defender. The guy's been absolutely incredible.
Big Ten has two teams left, Illinois and Purdue. That brings us to my next question. Jay, give me the one seed that you think they're all still alive. Who's in trouble in the Sweet 16?
You got to go Purdue. They're going against the Fighting Mark Few's Gonzaga. Gonzaga has size. They have strength. And the one thing you like about Gonzaga, look, Grinny, you and I talked about the fact that Northwestern beat Purdue at home. You felt like they should have beat them on the road.
Absolutely.
With some bad calls.
Yes.
Gonzaga's ability to have sides to combat Zach Edey and their execution from their guards is what's going to be a differentiator.
Interesting that you did not choose Houston, who's playing Duke. Who do you think, Seth, is the number one seed in the biggest trouble?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's Houston because of Duke. I don't have the brotherhood jacket, but I'll tell you, the way Duke played, the force that they played with, the physicality that they played with, how they handled the pressure of JMU, their overall size, their shot making, plus how the game is going to be officiated will be the key in this game. Last game, you saw 45 free throw attempts for that Texas A&M team. If you put Duke on the line 44 times, they're winning that basketball game. So I think that Houston is in the most trouble because at Duke, at its ceiling, at their very best, yep, they can beat Houston. And Jay will be happy. He'll make he'll be making like videos, screaming at the TV.
I need that Duke officiating from when they get blowed on. That's a foul to the free throw line. That's what I need.
Yeah, because if they get 45 foul shots, they're going to make 44 of them as opposed to the 29 we saw last night. Hey, ESPN Bet is the official sports book of ESPN, and it's the only place you can find exclusive offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sports book bet. Download today. What a play. Coming up next, do not miss a primetime proclamation. Deion Sanders said something yesterday that could signal huge changes in football as we know it. Don't miss it. Next.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You're watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. And it's time now for Sound Off. Interesting people saying interesting things. And there may, in the long run, not wind up being anything more interesting said in the last few weeks or months than what Deion Sanders said over the weekend. He was talking about the two players that he has as draft prospects for next year, his son, Shedeur Sanders, and the star player, Travis Hunter. And listen to how he, Deion, anticipates approaching their draft process.
Where do you predict Shador and Travis going in the draft?
Top four.
Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from one through four. One of them is going to be one. The latter one would not go behind four. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
Okay, you want point?
It's going to be it's going to be an Eli.
Okay. And Dan Graziano joins us here. He's down at the owners' meetings as well. And you see Hawk and you see Robert Griffin. And RG3, there's been a lot of this kind of conversation. I know people made a big deal about you suggesting that Caleb Williams could consider something like that in Chicago. I believe we are looking at a different time in sports now. Athletes have different expectations. So this whole idea of, oh, well, you just tell me where I'll go play and make my life and I have no control over the entire situation. I think those days are coming to an end. And so I think Deion Sanders signaling that is a fascinating development. What are your thoughts, RG3?
Yeah, I mean, the power shift is coming. So everyone needs to buckle up. All these college coaches have been running to the NFL because they're upset that the college players have a little bit more power and a little bit more say. Well, guess what? Those same kids that they're running away from are the ones that are going to be coming up the ranks and coming into the NFL in the next few years. So Deion saying that either Shadur or Travis Hunter should pull are going to pull an Eli doesn't surprise me at all. Look at what's happened this year. Caleb Williams goes to the combine, doesn't do anything except for meetings, doesn't even let the medical teams go out there and look at him because he says they don't need to. Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't do his pro day, doesn't do the combine, doesn't run a 40 because they don't need to. In today's age with the athletes and their mindset, they are empowered. They know that they can control their own narratives. They know that they can be a part of the media while they're still playing. So if the players that are coming up are saying these things and feel this type of way, you're going to see more of them pull an Eli and say, I understand that playing in the NFL is a privilege, but that privilege is earned through my pay or through my play. And the players right now understand that they don't have to do the status quo and they don't have to sit here and answer to whatever they're told to do anymore, because without the players, all of these sports leagues are nothing. This is the player empowerment age, and you're seeing it come into the NFL.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's no some of the, and look, not all the players will have the authority or the ability or the power yes. to do it. But those who do might say, oh, you mean I don't have to sit in a room and allow all these people I don't know to ask me insultingly personal questions about my family and all sorts of other things just because there's no other choice here? I think the day and age of that should have ended a long time ago, and it's ending now. Hawk, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm okay with all of that. I'm okay with not doing the pro days. I'm okay with not doing the interviews. I'm even okay with not doing the physicals because you have an eye and you're a scout. Use your eye, make your decision, and we'll figure it out from there. But as someone who has championed athlete empowerment my entire career, like from the media, from a playing perspective, what I always warn athletes of, there is a thin line between athlete empowerment and athlete entitlement. And this is grossly flirting with that thin line, because the thing that you're not factoring in is a quarterback. Yes, you have the abilities to be successful in the NFL. There are so many other variables and factors outside of your control. One of the most important being, how do you motivate the team that is with you? The guys in the huddle, where they look to you as someone with confidence who they trust can make the play, because it starts there. If I want a quarterback on my team, I want a quarterback who says, wherever my 2 feet are planted, we'll compete. It won't matter whether it's in Chicago, Washington, Jacksonville, Cleveland, LA, you name it. Because you've won the lottery of being in position to get graced with my services, congratulations, we're competing for a Super Bowl. And this whole trying to fix and pick where your team is when every other player doesn't have that luxury, I'm telling you, it's going to raise eyebrows, not only from a public perspective, to the guys that are also in your locker room, no matter where you end up.
Interesting way to look at it. Graziano, how about it? You're down there. You're with all these coaches now and all the rest yeah. of it. What's your perspective on this?
Well, I think a couple things in terms of what Deion Sanders is talking about. One, I mean, Deion, since we've known him, has always, you know, sort of talked big, right? Like he expects big things from himself. He expects big things from the people who play for him. Obviously, I think he's talking about a situation where the year has gone very well for Colorado, and those two players are top four picks in the draft. And if that happens, then sure, they'll have that level of – they could conceivably, if they want to, have that level of power and control over their situation. But I think you're talking about a very small number of people, maybe not even one per year, that are going to be able to exercise this kind of power that we're talking about. Caleb Williams probably could if he wanted to. And who knows, maybe at some point he will. We haven't heard anything to indicate that that is his plan. But, in terms of the Colorado guys that Deion is talking about, if they have the year that he's expecting them to, then they could be in that situation. I just think it's going to be, especially now, I think it's going to be very difficult for representative numbers of college players to exercise that kind of leverage coming out into the draft, as long as there's a draft. Now, if they can organize and get rid of the draft, then all bets are off. But I think we're a long way from that.
No, you're 100% right about that. We're not talking about this becoming everybody, but there will be a select few. How many remains to be seen that do it? And frankly, yeah, I'm surprised that more of them haven't in the past. All right, everyone stay where you are. We have so much going on today. All the basketball, all the football. We got the big baseball news coming up today. We'll get you to that. NBA Wednesday doubleheader this week. Good games. Clippers, Sixers, 7:30 Eastern. Then you will see Jokic and the Nuggets. You will see KD and the Suns. Coverage starts with Countdown, 7 Eastern. All the action Wednesday night on ESPN. In the meantime, I told you we're hearing from coaches all morning long. We just heard the most important thing Mike Tomlin will say this entire offseason, and you'll hear exactly what it was and what it means next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.